Ecclesiastes, which is such an interesting book. And if you've never read it, as we're going through it, you're going to be like, why is this in the Bible? It just seems like it's asking all the questions that we don't totally have answers to. But I think it's pretty cool because God's like, I know these are the questions you're going to have throughout your life, and I want to help you answer them. But I have a public service announcement before this starts. I have a crock. Whose is this? There's literally one crock in this room. And I'm like, how do you leave? What? Size 7 for men or 9 for women? It's your brother's. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. My life is now complete. I was just wondering, where is that other crock? So today we're going to be talking about labor, or what Ecclesiastes called labor, what we would call work, and kind of how money is attached to that. That's today's theme. And what I want you to do is I want you to start at your table answering these two questions to kick it off. For the first one is, what was your dream job in elementary school? What is your dream job now? Maybe it's the same, maybe not. And what is your reason for working towards getting a job or career? You got like 3-4 minutes. Go ahead. Okay, let me hear a couple of the your dream jobs when you were in elementary school. What do we got? What is it?
Law enforcement.
Is it changed?
Oh, well, I
you don't remember?
No, it's the same.
Oh, okay. He's hiring. All right. What?
A potion maker.
Nice. You played too much Zelda or something growing up. Clash of Clans. True, true. Yeah. Secret agent. A what? Circus performer? Nice. I can still see it. What? That's not a bad thing, bro. That's not a bad thing. Yes. Pilot. Nice. Okay. All right. Cool. That was fun. Hope that was good. Is anybody's like, hey, what I wanted to be when I was in elementary school is the same? What? Vet? Still vet? Vet? Oh, okay. Nobody? It's funny how it changes. You're it? What was it? You wanted to be a dad when you were younger, and now you're dead? Cop. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Question. What do you think the median number or the mean number of hours a person will spend at their paid job over their lifetime? Don't click the slide yet. Who? What do you think? Median number. What? More than 6 hours. I said mean, not more than. Anybody have a guess? 75,000? What, 150? What? What? 55K. Okay. Here's what it is. This is from a guy named Andrew Neighbor, the industrial organizational psychologist from Gettysburg College. Obviously, this is median. He says it's 90,000. He says 90,000 hours is the median number of hours someone will work in their career. This is a paid job. So the official work year would be a year, 365 days, 2,080 hours. This is from another website I got. So it's a guess. 2,080 hours is 365 days. That's 40 hours per week, 52 weeks a year. Many begin full-time work at age 18 and retire at, let's say, 68. Some is much later than that. Some could be earlier than that, but this is an average. So the total number of hours would be, if we did it by that, would actually be 100,008 hours, whatever, however you say that. You know I don't like math. Given occurrences like vacations, medical issues, job losses, holidays, the actual number is probably more likely to be around 80% of that, so 86,000 hours. So let me help you with this, though. So if it's, let's say it's 90,000 hours is a median. From those numbers, if you worked 50 years out of your life, so 18 to 68, if you worked 50 years, here's the median lifespan for a male is 73 and a half years, and a female is 79.3 years. What that means is men are stupid. We die earlier than women. Yes. So if we average those out, that's 76.4 years, okay? Average those out, 76.4 years. So those are the numbers from the CDC. So that means that paid work would be 2/3 of your life. Paid work is 2/3 of your life, if we get a general idea. So we will all work in some capacity. Some of us will get paid for it. Some of us who are moms work really hard and don't get paid for it. Those are the true heroes, okay? Hear, hear. Amen to that. So my question to you is, that's right. When I ask you this question, what is your mindset about work? Does work matter? And here's what I would tell you. If you care about your life, your work matters. If you actually care about your life and what you, where your life is going, you will care about your work. But here's the thing. America, this is in my opinion. I'm more than welcome anyone to come up and talk to me about this afterwards, okay? In my opinion, America has a little bit of a weird obsession in the way we think about work and money, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. Our whole goal in America, I'm not saying everybody, okay? I'm saying kind of the general mindset here, is to work so that we can make a lot of money so that we don't have to work, so that life is easy. I think that's a lot of kind of our mindset, to work to make money so we don't have to work to make life easy. Now, that is, when you think about that, that makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. Okay, I work hard so that I can save for my retirement, so then I can retire, so then I don't have to work, so then I can kind of do what I want and make life easy. Seems like a great idea in one sense, but I think there's a couple fatal flaws in this thinking, and I want to kind of lay them out, and then we're going to see what Ecclesiastes says about them. The first fatal flaw is this. At our core, we are meant to work. At our core, we are meant to work. God designed us like that. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm going to show you where that comes from in the Bible in just a minute. It's Genesis chapter 1. We are working not to work. We are working to not work in hopes that our not working will bring us satisfaction. You see what I'm saying? We are working so that we don't have to work to think that our not working will bring us satisfaction. To think that all of a sudden, when we retire, that we will be happy is setting ourselves up for failure. My dad, who said he worked from when age 16, retired at age, I think it was age 65 or 66, this is a couple years ago. I told him, I said, Dad, when you retire, you're going to be bored out of your mind. You can't sit down. Where do you think I get the reality that I can't sit down from? And he's like, no, I'll be fine. I'll have tons to do around the house. 3 months later, he completed every project in the house, and he's like, I'm getting a part-time job. Why? Because at our core, we're made to work. We could get paid for it or not paid for it. It doesn't matter. We're made to work. So that's fatal flaw number one, with the idea sometimes of America and how we work, that we want to work so that we can save up a lot so we don't have to work and make life easy. Problem number one is that we're meant to work at our core. Problem number two is that when sin entered the world, work without toil or pain is not possible. You will never find a perfect job or get to a place in life where everything's easy, where there's no more pain. So to think that ultimately reality is we're going to get to a place where everything's easy, where if we work hard enough we can get there, it's not possible. There will always be pain in the toil, and we're going to see that in Genesis chapter 3 in just a minute. And fatal flaw number 3 in the way we think about work is that God's desire is for us to live in rhythm. God's desire is us to live in rhythm. We are meant to work for the long haul, to find rhythm, the rhythm of work, I think pleasure. God wants us to enjoy things, and then we rest. Where do we see that? All of these are found in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, God starts when he makes creation. He says, for 6 days you should work, and then the seventh day you'll rest. God says everything is in rhythm. I want you to work in rhythm. So I think we're meant to work for the long haul. Some of us will work, and then we'll retire from our paid job, and then we'll go do things that is work, but we just don't get paid for it. And there's nothing wrong with that, because God still has designed us and desired us to work. The goal is not, in my opinion, and from biblically, is not to work, then just stop all of a sudden. God's like, my desire is for you to continue to work, to bring a creative order to this world, to bring your passions and desires and to help people. So does your desire to work transcend you? And I know for a lot of you, you're like, why are we talking about this? I'm in high school. I think a lot more of you think about this a lot more than you think you do. Because I hear from small group leaders that many of you are like, I don't know, what am I going to do after college? What job? What am I doing? Where am I going to college? All that is because you're thinking about this idea of what's my job going to be? What's my career going to be? What am I going to do? So I hope today has helped setting a foundation and a framework for what you think about work and going forward. So does your desire to work transcend you? Or is it all about you and what you can get? Have you thought about why you are doing what you are doing, when it comes to your job, career, or vocation. That's so important to me, to think about in all things in life, why am I doing what I'm doing? So today's main point is this: our labor or work and money will only give us satisfaction and meaning when it's motivated by God's design. I don't think work's bad. I think work's good. I think for many of us, we're like, I just have to work just because I have to. I have to get money. No, I think we're going to see from God's design, the biblical framework, is that we can find satisfaction and meaning in our work when it's motivated by God's design. Now, I'm going to talk mostly about work today, not as much about the money piece, but the money piece is really closely connected to our work. I mean, for most of us, that 50 years, we have to work because we have to make money, we have to pay the bills, we have to get food, we have to get coffee. It all makes sense. That's why we have to work. All right, I got coffee in there. I'm always trying to do that. If we have our core motivation about work right, then how we think about money is already closely on the right track. I think if we get the way we view work correctly and where we're headed with our life, we'll get the view of money pretty close. So if everything you're working for right now is to get to the right college, to land the best job, to make good money, to buy the right house, the right boat, and get the American dream so you can live a comfortable life, and then retire, I think you'll ultimately be let down when you get there. So the real discussion is not about how much money is too much or what job is the right job, but what is the purpose and the meaning behind my work? You will work whether you're paid or not, and you're meant to find meaning in it. Therefore, having a theology of work, how I think about work from a biblical framework, beginning now, is what will help you find meaning and purpose in your work instead of unmet expectations. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that things like work, which we realize when we think about it, is such a big part of our lives, and it always has been. I'm so thankful, Lord, that your word speaks about it. And it gives us the right mindset, the right motivation on how to think about it. So God, I pray your spirit will be working in this room, on us, on our hearts, so we'll be focused on you and what our work is designed to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're jumping to God's word. And first we're going to look at the beginning of work. We're going to look at the dilemma of work. And then we're going to look at a biblical motivation for work. Okay, so jump in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Let me read it. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So this is God in the creation story when he talks about how he created the world. This is what he says. And then he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Go to the next slide. And God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that is breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Okay, in the beginning, Genesis literally means the beginning. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, God says, I have created you to have dominion over the earth. Some versions will say to subdue. I will say also to steward the things of the earth. God, before sin ever entered the world, when things were perfect, there was no sin, God meant us for work. We are created to work. It is in our DNA that we are designed to work, to create. That is how God created us. And God said it was very good. So that has to be the core of how we understand work, because I think for some of you, some of the things that you might be hearing or learning is like, oh, you want to do this thing where you can get rich really fast so that you don't have to work. First of all, if you go read Proverbs says any get-rich scheme never works. But you're thinking, I just want to make a lot of money so that then I can not have to work. And I will tell you, that will be an unmet desire and an unmet expectation, because you are created to work. That is how God designed you. Okay, so that's the first thing. We're created at our core to work. And it is good, and God said it was very good before sin entered the world. Now let's look at the dilemma of work. This is Genesis chapter 3. Sin has entered the world. If you've never heard the creation story, really quick, God said, there's a tree here. You can have all the other trees. There's this one tree. It's called the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. That's the only one. I'm giving you a good boundary. Look, you got the whole thing. Don't eat that one. Adam and Eve are like, we want to eat that one. So what did they do? They ate from the tree. Sin came into the world. They stepped over the boundaries that God has created. Now we all are like them. We sin. We are born with a separation from God. So right when they sin, it says that God walks on the earth with them. He would go meet them. Literally, when they sin, God comes, he finds them, and he's like, you sin, you are now going to be kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Perfection is no longer here. And here's what God says to Adam, if you can go there. Genesis 3, there it is. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, that you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of all of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, and out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust shall you return. So, when Adam and Eve sinned, one of the consequences given was that the work that God said was very good would now come with pain and toil. The ground Adam would work would now produce thorns, weeds. It would take hard work to cultivate. I don't fully get this. I can't even fully understand this. But prior to sin entering the world, there was no the work wasn't hard. Like, I guess Adam didn't sweat. It just happened. It was there. He enjoyed it, but there wasn't pain or toil in it. I don't fully understand that. Now you might say, Lee, look, we don't live in an agrarian culture. This is really true. How does this relate to me? Well, think about this. We live in a digital culture, right? Especially here in Northern Virginia, we got data centers everywhere. My body's just buzzing with all the buzzing going on in those things. My question to you is this. Why do these data centers need workers in them to maintain them? Why are many of your parents IT workers, data security, and cybersecurity? Because even digital things need maintenance and come with toil and pain to take care of them. It's all of life. Any job you have, there's hard things. There's hard work. So that is now the dilemma of work. I think as I was studying this, it made sense to me. I think the consequence that God gave Adam regarding work is why we have a dilemma of working to not work. We know that work is hard, that it is toilsome. And so what are we trying to do? We're trying to solve that problem by not working. But that is a fatal flaw. Why? Because we're designed to work. So if we're just trying to not work, we're never going to be satisfied. So Solomon gives us a couple other dilemmas in the book of Ecclesiastes. But we had to get the basis here, is that God designed us to work, but the dilemma of work is that work is now hard. So here's what Solomon says about a couple other things about work or labor and money. Number one is this. The dilemma number one is the gain of hard work does not always satisfy. Here's what he says in 2, 4 through 7. I made great works. I built houses, planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted them, all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves. I had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. Go to that next slide. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of men. So I became great and surpassed all who were born in Jerusalem. All my wisdom remained with me. Solomon saying, I had it all. Everything that hard work could bring you. He's like, I had it all. I had everything that it could give me. And here's what he says after this. Go to the next slide. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep for them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. But then he goes, then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Solomon said, I had it all, and guess what? None of it brought me the satisfaction that I was looking for. There's nothing wrong with working hard. I think God calls us to do it. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. But when that is the core motivation of why you work, you will never be satisfied in your work. I could give you the examples of people who have everything they could ever want and still feel unsatisfied. You've heard them. You've seen them on TikTok. You've seen them on Instagram. You know. You've seen them on YouTube. You've heard us talk about them. Wealth does not give ultimate satisfaction. It's just more to manage. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Material possessions don't give ultimate satisfaction. They can never truly satisfy. You know, this is one of my issues. I like things. I love things. And my thing is, in my head, I say, but Lee, you got it for free or you got it for a really good deal, so it can't really be that bad. And God's like, no. If your ultimate goal is to have more things and think they'll satisfy, it will never satisfy you. My father-in-law once told me this at the beginning of my marriage, and I should listen to it more often. He said, you don't own things. Things own you. And I began to realize how true that is. The more things you have, the more you have to maintain, the more that it owns you. So you and I can try to continue to live in the lie that wealth and possessions, that our wealth and possessions will bring us ultimate satisfaction. But Solomon from the 10th century said the same human problem existed then. Wealth and possessions do not bring ultimate satisfaction. So that's number one. Dilemma number one is that the gain of hard work does not always satisfy. Dilemma number two is this. Wealth as the motivation for work will never satisfy. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. Put differently, this is what John D. Rockefeller said, first billionaire in America, if you can go to the next slide, said, John D. Rockefeller, the founder of the Standard Oil Company, was the first billionaire of the United States of America, and once the richest man on earth, was asked by a reporter, how much money is enough? He calmly replied, just a little bit more. Because it never sat, a billionaire, how much is enough? Just a little bit more. Because when we always get there, it's like, well, how much? Just a little bit more. Wealth as the motivation for work will never satisfy. When your motivation is to work is to gain wealth, it's not about the work you do, but only about the wealth. This motivation will only mean more anxiety over managing your wealth, over managing your possessions. Other people will want it. You won't know who are your real friends because the wealth takes over. Will you be able to enjoy it, or will you only be worried about keeping it safe and secure? Your life, if your motivation for work is wealth, your life becomes consumed by the wealth. So dilemma number one was the gain of hard work does not always satisfy. Number two was wealth as the motivation for work will not satisfy. And the last dilemma is this, and probably the most depressing actually. If you're not depressed already, here's the next most depressing, is that the gain of hard work and how it will be left and how it will be used when it's left to someone else may or may not spend it well. So you have no control over the gain of your labor when you die. Everything that you work for, when you die, you have no control over it. You can set up things as great as you want. I can set up something so that if I were dying, my son would get the money when he's 18 or whatever. But I have no clue exactly how he's going to spend it. We can try our hardest to raise our kids well. You can leave your money in a trust, all these different things. But ultimately, the truth is we have no real control over what happens to our money when we die. And so Solomon said this, I hated all my toil. He said, I look back and I actually hated it, which I toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool, yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. He said, when I look at my work, when I look at all I did, he said, what's going to happen when I die? Well, then what's my work matter if I don't know what's going to happen with it? Right? He's asking these kind of existential questions that are like, I don't even know how to picture this in my mind. What do I do? Why is it all worth it? And I realize that this one seems far off for many of you, but the dilemma Solomon brings up, it's going to help you understand when we get to the true motivation of work. You can work to gain wealth and have possessions, but they won't satisfy. You can work to gain wealth, to possibly leave it to someone or something good, but then when you die, you have no control over what happens to it. This makes all the work you will do seem meaningless if you don't have control over it. Reality is, when you have not earned the money, that you have, you will not spend it well most often. But when you've earned it, all of a sudden you think differently about the money that you have, right? Some of you have jobs now. You're like, oh, I didn't realize. You're like, oh, people take taxes? What? So here's what I want you to do. Now that you're thoroughly depressed and don't want to work and you're like, what are we doing today? I want you to answer this question at your table. Which dilemma hit you the hardest and why? Take about 3 minutes to do that. Go ahead. If you look up here, want to end with a few three biblical motivations for work. So we looked at the dilemmas, and I think these three biblical motivations are going to help you understand what's a true, good, purposeful motivation for work. First one is this. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 through 13, from that is that our work is meant to provide for us and others. Ecclesiastes, it seems so basic, but let me help explain it. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 through 13, Solomon says, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is a gift, is God's gift to man. Okay, we look back to Adam. When he worked, it was like to provide food. Lived off the land is to provide food. None of us really live off the land now. Most of us, though, the money that your parents make, the money that you will make, is ultimately so that you can provide for yourself, that you can have shelter, that you can have food. But here's where this is really helpful when you take this basic idea of our work is meant to provide for ourselves and for others. The basic motivation that helps us there is that all of a sudden, I begin not to just expect things, but I begin to be appreciative of things. I'm like, oh, you know, the parent, my dad goes to work, my mom the same stays home and take care of me, my mom that works. Like all of a sudden, those things become, I'm grateful for those. They're not just what I deserve. God allows me to work, allows my parents to work so that he can provide for us. These things that I have are a blessing. Man, all of a sudden, that's such a different motivation for work. It's like these are the things that God has provided. And really for many of us beyond that has massively blessed us with these things. Start with that basic motivation. When you just think, God allows me to work. He's put in my core to work because it is to provide for myself and for others. Second thing is this. We are meant to find purpose and joy in our work. Now look. Your job is never going to provide you. Your career, work you do outside of paid work, is never going to give you ultimate satisfaction. But it is. God has designed it to give you a level of purpose and meaning and joy in it. Here's what Ecclesiastes 3:22 says. So I saw that there's nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? Solomon's saying, you know, we could look down the line past when we don't always like to think about when we die, but past our death, we could look down the line and go, I don't know what's going to happen or why should I work? And Solomon goes, no, there is purpose in the here and now in the work that you do. Right here and now in how you view your schoolwork and how you view the team or the club or the thing that you do or the volunteer work that you do, the work that you do. He's like, it matters. It matters right here and now. It is affecting the people around you. Remember Genesis 1, we're meant to work. But what happened was Adam sought to find satisfaction in his work apart from God. When you are seeking to say, Lord, I want to glorify you in the work that I do. I want to glorify you in the path that my life is taking. That is when you can find the real joy and satisfaction and purpose in your work when it's with the Lord. When our work is not to gain wealth or possessions, but to bring glory to God, we find that purpose and joy even when it is difficult. Here's what it, go to the next slide. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this. Oh, go back. I like this quote by John Piper, pastor and theologian. He says, God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. And that's, we find that in our work. When we say, God, I want to find satisfaction in my work with you, outside of work, whatever it may be, is God is most glorified through us when we are most satisfied in him. Go to the next slide. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this. Whatever you find your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Solomon is not saying don't work hard. He's saying when you find it, do it with all your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Sheol was the Old Testament word for the afterlife, for heaven. So he's saying outside of there, he's like, you don't know what's going to happen there while you're on this earth. Work hard. Give your hands to it. Find and pursue the gifts, the talents, the abilities on varying levels to whatever God has given to you. Put your hand to it. Pursue it. Find it. Work hard at it. It is in that that you will find purpose and joy in the work that you do. And finally, the last biblical framework is this. There's obviously more. I'm giving you three today. Find contentment in whatever work and wealth circumstances God gives you. Find contentment in whatever work and whatever wealth situation you find yourself. Everyone, Ecclesiastes 5, 19 through 20 says, everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift from God. For he will not much remember this days of his life because God keeps his heart occupied with joy in his work. Solomon there is saying, when he says God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart, when you find contentment in whatever situation God brings you in, whatever amount of money you have or don't have, however much you love your job or don't love your job, however much you like school or hate school, however, whatever it is, however much you like your coach or don't like your coach, he's saying, when you accept it and say, Lord, help me to rejoice in this and find contentment in this, he's saying, God will keep your mind occupied. You will not always look at all the bad because you will realize there's purpose and meaning in where you are in the Lord. Find contentment there. This is not an excuse for laziness or apathy. It's actually the exact opposite. It means working hard, but leaving the results in God's hands. It's work for God's glory and finding purpose and meaning in what your work through him, and the meaning in your work through God, which brings satisfaction, whatever the circumstances. Here's what Ecclesiastes 5:12 says. Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, for whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. What Solomon's saying there is, when you are obsessed with wealth, when you're obsessed with what kind of things you can get, that will consume you. The person that says, Lord, I want to work from you, whatever you give me, whatever you don't, I'm accepting it, I can walk in contentment. He's saying, sweet is the sleep of the person who says, Lord, I want to find my satisfaction in you, in my work. So, here's how I want to wrap up for you. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is the good news. This seems like a weird transition. This is what the good news says. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man can boast. So here's what's cool. Here's what's cool. God says, guess what? The ultimate free gift that I give you of salvation, you don't have to work for that. I did. How cool is that? He says, when you accept that gift, that gift of grace, my son Jesus that died for you on your behalf to pay for your sins. He says, there is eternal life there. You don't have to work for that. That is a free gift. But guess what? We don't often talk about the next verse. Go to the next verse. I love this. This is the good news lived out. But we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared that we should walk in them. Guess what? The good works don't save us, but he says, you're my workmanship. I've created you. I have good works for you. Discover them and live them out. That is ultimately the good news lived out. That is the gospel lived out. When you're not working for your salvation, you already have it in Christ, and then you say, God, let me live out through you. So don't work to get money for the good life so you can retire and easily live. Instead, seek work, both paid and unpaid, where you are bringing glory to God. Evaluate now. What are you doing right here in high school? Where is your motivation taking you? Where are your desires taking you? What is your plan for college, career, job, life? Is it motivated by God's design for work and wealth? And by the way, I don't think everybody needs to become a pastor or work at a church. I think it doesn't matter if God's given you skills for an engineer, to be a firefighter, to be a police officer, to be a doctor, a nurse, all of those things. God says, I want to take you to take my light, my truth, my gospel, the skills that I've given you into the place that you go. So think about right now, where is your desires taking you? Where is your plan taking you? You know, the main point is our labor and money will only give us satisfaction and meaning when it's motivated by God's design. And if you find your satisfaction and meaning in the Lord, you will find joy, purpose, and satisfaction in your work, in your wealth. And when I say wealth, I'm just talking about the money that God gives you, not a ton of it, whatever God whatever God gives you, they won't control you, nor will they seem meaningless or purposeless. But if you don't, you will strive for wealth and material possessions that will only leave you unsatisfied and looking like Solomon, wondering, why does it all seem meaningless? So be thinking about that. Let's pray, and then we're going to end with worship. Lord, thank you again that your word speaks to us about work, about our labor, about our wealth. God, that you want us to find our meaning, our satisfaction in you. And so that I pray that we will be thinking about these things. We'll think about where our desire is taking us. And God, that we'll want to find them in you. And that will give us real purpose and real joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand up and worship.